Welcome to today's deep dive. Imagine for a second that you're running this massive multi-million dollar business, but you are forced to operate completely blind for like 6 months out of the year.
Yeah, which is a terrifying thought for any business owner.
Right. And there's this taxi meter running in the background of your operation, but it's covered up with a thick towel, so you don't even get to see the fare until the ride is completely over.
And, if you guess wrong about what that fare is going to be, you could lose the entire business.
Exactly. And that's not just some hypothetical scenario. That is the exact reality right now for agricultural operations across California that are dealing with the enforcement of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, or SGMA.
Yeah, the stakes with SGMA, they do not get higher. We're looking at this fundamental, truly existential shift in how natural resources are managed in the U.S.
Because we're past the warning phase now, right?
Oh, absolutely. The era of polite warning letters is over. The state is actively putting groundwater basins on probation and levying these just devastating financial penalties on farms that overcome.
So, to really understand this, today's deep dive is centered around this internal product and market briefing we got our hands on. It's for a platform called AgWater AI.
And just to be completely clear up front for everyone listening, our mission today is just to impartially unpack this briefing. We're not here to endorse the product or anything like that.
Right, yeah, we're definitely not taking any sides here. We're just using their internal documents to understand this much bigger collision that's happening between really severe regulatory enforcement and, artificial intelligence.
Because if you really want to understand why the old ways of farming are suddenly becoming obsolete, you have to look at what happens when data becomes the absolute only way you can prove you're following the law.
So to really grasp the gravity here, let's go back to that covered taxi meter analogy, because this law, SGMA, it's not actually new, is it?
No, not at all. It was actually passed way back in 2014 during this historic drought, basically to stop underground aquifers from literally collapsing. But the law gave local groundwater sustainability agencies, the GSAs years, to figure out how to actually enforce it.
And now time is up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The enforcement era is finally here. But the truly insidious part of how this works practically is the timing. It's what the industry calls the retroactive billing trap.
Let's break that down. How does that trap actually spring on a farmer? Because, if you're listening to this and you manage permanent crops like, say, a huge citrus orchard or a massive pistachio operation, you can't just pause your trees.
Right, it's not a factory.
Exactly. If you're running a factory and materials get too expensive, you just halt the assembly line. But if you stop watering a 20-year-old orchard, decades of capital investment just die.
You literally have to pump water to save the orchard. You have no choice. But under this current regulatory framework, you don't actually get the bill or the penalty notice from your GSA until months later.
Long after the season is over and the crop is harvested.
Yeah, exactly. Long after you've already spent your entire operating budget for the year, that's when the towel finally comes off the meter. And for a mid-sized farm, overshooting your water allocation by even a relatively small amount can trigger a six-figure penalty.
A six-figure penalty. I mean, the internal briefing uses some genuinely terrifying terminology for this. They call a fine like that a sell the tractor event.
Yeah. Because it wipes out the entire year's profit margin in just one single piece of mail.
And for a smaller family operation, they call it a sell the farm event. It just abruptly ends the business.
Right. And when the cost of being wrong is losing your family's farm, guessing just becomes mathematically impossible to justify, the entire industry is suddenly in this desperate scramble for accuracy.
Which naturally brings us to the technology side of this briefing, because I'll be honest, whenever I hear the phrase AI in agriculture, I immediately picture like a team of Silicon Valley software engineers wandering out into a muddy field.
With drone footage and iPads, right?
Exactly. Trying to disrupt an industry they have absolutely zero practical experience in. But the briefing claims this AgWater AI platform is fundamentally different. I'm just struggling to see how any software actually measures water usage accurately enough to confidently avoid a sell the farm penalty.
Well, the company's tagline in the document actually pushes back directly against that Silicon Valley stereotype. It says, 42 years of agronomy, now AI powered.
Oh, interesting. So it's built by actual farmers.
Yeah, apparently it was built by people who actually grew up managing irrigation in the Central Valley.
Yeah.
So they lived the problem for decades before they tried to code a solution for it.
Contrast that with the standard competitor models out there.
Right. So the competitors dominating the market right now do exactly what you described. They rely heavily on satellite imagery. They literally take photos from space, run them through algorithms, and try to guess the soil moisture based on the color of the tree canopy.
So they're basically looking at the leaves from orbit to figure out if the roots are thirsty.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, if you're a listener who has ever tried to keep a finicky houseplant alive, you already know the massive flaw in that logic. Because, you know, by the time the leaves turn brown and crispy, the damage is already done.
Exactly. Now, scale that biological reality up to 1,000 acres of almond trees. That's precisely why the satellite approach only yields about 70% accuracy.
Because it's a lagging indicator?
Yes. By the time a satellite detects a shift in the canopy color, that tree is already highly stressed and has probably shut down photosynthesis entirely. You've already lost crop yield for the season.
So how does AgWater AI avoid that? Because the briefing says they completely bypass that sky down approach. They rely on something they call biological ground truth.
Right, biological ground truth.
I need an explanation of the actual mechanics there. What does that actually mean in the context of training an AI model?
Think of it like the difference between looking at a photograph of a patient to guess if they're sick versus physically taking their blood pressure. The AgWater AI platform was trained on over 11 million real physical in-ground sensor readings.
Wow, 11 million.
Yeah, data collected over 9 years across 34 active Central Valley sites. And these sensors aren't just checking if the dirt is wet. They're actually measuring soil matrix potential.
Soil matrix potential? What is that?
It means they are literally feeling the microscopic tension in the soil. They're measuring how hard the roots are having to struggle to pull water away from the dirt particles.
Oh, wow.
And they combine that with real irrigation timing decisions and actual plant stress measurements that were verified by human agronomists physically walking the rows.
Okay, I have to play the skeptic here for a second, though. 11 million data points is a massive number, sure, but every single farm soil is different.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've got heavy clay in one county and then loose sandy loam in another. How does an AI trained on a farm in Bakersfield accurately predict what's going to happen to a root system up in Fresno? If it's just memorizing patterns, it's going to fail the second it sees new dirt.
And the briefing directly addresses that exact hurdle. They intentionally test the AI on farms it has never seen before.
Why do they do that?
Specifically to prove that it has actually learned the underlying agronomic physics, like the actual cause and effect of soil tension, temperature, and root behavior. It's not just overfitting or memorizing a specific field's historical patterns.
So it actually understands the rules of the environment.
Exactly. And because the models are built on this massive foundation of real ground-level biology instead of orbital photography, their accuracy jumps from that 70% industry average to over 90%.
Which is a huge leap.
It is. And on a multi-million dollar crop, that 20% gap in accuracy is the literal difference between staying in business and facing penalties you simply cannot afford.
Okay, having a neural network that actually understands the physics of soil tension is undeniably a massive technical achievement. But the briefing also points out a pretty brutal truth about human behavior.
Yeah, the quote about noise, right?
Exactly. Data without decision is just noise. Because think about the cognitive load on a farmer. They're out there managing hundreds of acres, dispatching labor crews, fixing broken equipment, navigating supply chains.
Right. They don't have time to sit at a desk scrolling through complex software dashboards.
Or trying to act like a data scientist. If a technology requires a farm manager to become a computer operator to get any value out of it, they're just going to abandon it.
Which is why AgWater AI's approach to this is actually quite elegant in its restraint. They distill all that massive computational power we just talked about into a single, simple email that arrives at 6:30 a.m. every day.
Just one email.
Yep. The goal is for the farmer to read it in 5 minutes over coffee before the crews even show up. Oh. It tells them precisely which block of trees needs watering, exactly for how long, and critically, which blocks they need to skip entirely.
The interface might just be a simple email, but the briefing outlines some heavy lifting happening in the background. What are the actual machine learning models crunching overnight to generate those daily instructions?
So the system is actually running 6 distinct machine learning models simultaneously. The first one is crop stress detection. As we discussed with the satellites, human eyes catch stress way too late. But the AI analyzes that metric tension data from the soil probes, and it detects the onset of stress a full day or two before any physical symptoms ever appear on the tree. So a farmer can intervene before irreversible yield loss happens.
Catching invisible stress before it happens is fascinating. But the briefing also heavily emphasizes a second model, the 7-day stress forecast.
Yeah, that one's crucial.
It claims to shift the entire farming operation from being reactive to proactive. But let's look objectively at the economics behind that claim for a second, because on the surface, forecasting stress doesn't really seem like it saves money if the tree still ultimately needs the exact same amount of water, right?
Well, to understand the financial leverage there, you have to understand California's electricity grid. The state uses these complex time-of-use electricity rates, which are largely driven by what energy experts call the duck curve.
Right, the peak demand times.
Exactly. Running those heavy industrial agricultural pumps takes a massive amount of electricity. If you run those pumps during the peak afternoon hours in the summer, when everyone else in the entire state is blasting their air conditioning, the grid is incredibly strained, and the cost per kilowatt hour just skyrockets.
Okay, I see. So if you're reacting to a thirsty tree on a Thursday afternoon, you're forced to buy the most expensive electricity in the state just to keep your crop alive.
Precisely. But if the AI's 7-day forecast analyzes the soil trends and tells you on Monday morning that a specific block of trees is going to hit critical stress levels by Thursday afternoon, you've suddenly bought yourself a window of time.
Oh, so you can water it earlier.
Right. You don't have to wait until Thursday at 4 p.m. to panic pump. You can schedule the watering for Wednesday night at 2 a.m. when grid demand is super low and electricity is incredibly cheap.
So you apply the exact same amount of water for the exact same trees, but at a fraction of the utility cost.
Exactly. The breaching describes this as going from being the fire department, you know, constantly reacting to emergencies to running a fire prevention program.
Okay, yeah, that makes the ROI much clearer. And alongside the stress detection and forecasting, they also highlight the SGMA allocation estimator.
Yes.
This model seems designed to directly pull the towel off that taximeter we talked about at the start of the deep dive.
It really does. This model tracks the farm's estimated water usage with that over 90% accuracy we discussed, and it constantly compares it against the farm's specific GSA limit in real time.
And how does it present that to the farmer?
It translates all this complex data into a really simple traffic light system right inside that 6:30 a.m. email. Green means the operation is on track for the season. Yellow indicates usage is trending high and you need to make adjustments. And red means immediate action is required to avoid a penalty.
Now, I do want to point out a very strict, bolded disclaimer in the source material regarding that feature.
Oh, yeah, the legal disclaimer.
Yeah. AgWater AI is adamant that this is an estimation tool. It does not legally replace the official GSA measurements, and farmers must always verify their standing with their local regulatory agency. It's a navigational aid, you know, not a legally binding meter reading.
That is a crucial legal distinction, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the other models running in the background include deep root zone monitoring, which catches crises 4 or 5 feet underground before the surface soil even looks dry.
Wow.
There's also a salinity optimization model. That one analyzes the data to tell farmers exactly when they need to flux salt build up deeper into the soil profile before it permanently ruins the root zone.
That's incredibly specific.
It is. And interestingly, they dedicate an entire AI model just to monitoring the physical health of the sensors themselves. Hardware degrades in the dirt. And this model ensures a farmer never makes a catastrophic watering decision based on a stuck or failing probe.
You know, one dynamic in the briefing that I found highly unusual for a tech company was the relationship between the AI and the human experts. Usually, tech platforms just assume the algorithm is completely infallible, right?
Right, the computer is always right.
Yeah. But this platform includes a weekly review cycle where human agronomists actually look over the AI's automated recommendations. And sometimes the human expert looks at the data, looks at the physical field, and explicitly overrides the machine's instructions.
And the mechanism behind that interaction is just fascinating. When a human expert overrides the AI, the system doesn't just throw an error code or ignore the input.
What does it do?
That override event actually becomes a brand new piece of training data. The system analyzes the environmental conditions to learn exactly why the human expert made a different call under those specific circumstances.
So it adapts to the human.
Exactly. The architecture positions the farmer and the agronomist as the absolute authorities. The AI is strictly an assistant that learns from their intuition.
Which is really smart. Mm-hmm. Now, optimizing the water scheduling, catching invisible stress, and strategically cutting the electricity bill, that is all incredibly valuable. But it exposes a massive logical flaw when we bring the conversation back to the state regulators.
How so?
Well, the briefing contains a quote that really anchors this issue. Savings you can't document are the same as no savings. A green light in a daily email doesn't hold up in court.
No, it certainly doesn't.
So if the state regulators or the local GSA show up for an audit, Why can't a farmer just hand them a handwritten notebook or, you know, a printed Excel spreadsheet of their pump hours to prove they stayed under their limit?
You really have to look at it from the state's perspective. A handwritten notebook is entirely self-reported, and a basic spreadsheet is easily manipulated. Neither of them represents an auditable, verifiable chain of evidence.
They're just taking your word for it, essentially.
Yeah, right. And if a farm is facing a sudden six-figure penalty, or, you know, if the farmer legitimately believes the GSA's official meter reading is completely inaccurate and wants to formally dispute their findings, they need rigorous, independent data. They need proof.
And this brings us to what the briefing calls the platform's proof layer.
Exactly. It's not just about doing the conservation work. It's about cryptographically proving you did the work. Eggwater AI has developed this patent-pending documentation technology, and they currently hold an exclusive agricultural license for it.
Okay.
This system creates a tamper-evident, digitally signed record of every single drop of water pumped and applied to every specific block on the farm.
Let's clarify what digitally signed actually means in a dirt and water industry. Does that mean the data is locked from the exact moment the physical sensor records it in the soil, all the way through the cloud servers, to the final PDF report they hand to the auditor?
Yes. Think of it like a strict chain of custody for evidence in a legal trial. Every single data point generated by the soil probes and pump monitors is cryptographically hashed and verified.
Wow, that's intense.
It is. It transforms agricultural water use from this rough guessing game into something resembling a rigorous corporate financial audit.
Hmm.
Surviving a GSA inquiry requires exactly this level of documentation.
It's all about defense.
Well, looking beyond just defense, the briefing notes a fascinating secondary market effect, too. Having this data actively increases the resale value of the agricultural land itself.
Okay, that makes perfect economic sense. Because if you're a massive institutional buyer, or say a bank lending against the land, a farm that comes with years of mathematically verifiable, tamper-evident compliance history is demonstrably less risky.
Right.
And therefore, it's way more valuable than a farm that just relies on a stack of dusty notebooks in the manager's truck.
Exactly. And the briefing also outlines a longer-term strategic play regarding potential future water credit programs. Now, currently, these programs don't exist in a finalized, universally paying format in California.
Mm.
But if and when the state rolls out financial incentives or like cap and trade style markets for farmers who can actually prove they conserve water, the operations just keeping spreadsheets are going to be entirely left out.
Because they don't have the proof.
Right. You have to possess the auditable, tamper-proof infrastructure just to secure a seat at the table. They are building the documentation layer today, so growers are positioned to actually capitalize on those markets tomorrow.
Okay, I have to pause and look at the friction involved here, though. We're talking about patent-pending documentation layers, exclusive tech licenses, AI models train on 11 million data points.
It sounds expensive.
It does. I'm imagining a scenario where a family has to basically rip up their entire functioning farm to install hundreds of thousands of dollars of proprietary hardware just to get the system turned on. What is the actual barrier to entry for a normal farming operation?
So the assumption that you need to buy all new proprietary hardware is incredibly common, but the briefing details two massive ways they bypass that friction. First, the Eggwater AI platform is entirely sensor agnostic.
Sensor agnostic, meaning what exactly?
It genuinely does not matter what brand of soil probe or pump monitor a farm currently has installed in the ground. If they already have telemetry hardware, the AI simply connects to their existing API and just layers the intelligence on top.
Oh, so the existing hardware just instantly gets smarter.
Exactly. No ripping up orchards, no stranded assets.
Okay, that covers the tech-forward farms. But what about the operations that have historically relied entirely on intuition? What if they don't have a single sensor in the ground and are starting from absolute zero?
This completely changes the economic equation for those operations. The federal and state governments have actually allocated millions of dollars in grant programs specifically designed to hand farmers money to upgrade their conservation technology.
Really? Like what programs?
The big ones are SWEEP, which stands for the State Water Efficiency and Enhancement Program, along with federal EQP grants and various funding pools from the EDFA, the California Department of Food and Agriculture. These programs are expressly designed to pay for the exact sensors and telemetry needed to feed data into an AI platform.
But, I mean, anyone who has ever dealt with government funding knows the catch there. The bureaucratic red tape and the application paperwork required to actually get that money is an absolute nightmare.
Oh, it's terrible.
Most farmers don't have a dedicated grant writer on staff, so they just never apply.
And the friction of bureaucracy is exactly what stops adoption. AgWater AI recognized this, so they essentially built grant as a service into their business model. They actually handle the entire grant application process for the grower.
Wait, they do the paperwork?
They do the paperwork. Now, obviously, grant availability fluctuates depending on state funding cycles and specific basin eligibility. But for those who do qualify, these state and federal grants can cover the physical hardware at zero out-of-pocket cost to the farmer.
Well, getting the state to buy the physical sensors is a massive hurdle cleared, but what is the actual ongoing cost of the AI software itself?
The briefing puts the subscription cost into pretty stark perspective. The annual cost of the software is a tiny fraction of what a single SGMA overpumping fine would cost.
So it pays for itself.
Quickly. When an operation calculates the avoided six-figure regulatory penalties, the retained crop yield from catching invisible root stress early, and the massive electricity savings from shifting to off-peak pumping. The return on investment happens incredibly fast.
Right.
The service isn't what's expensive. The alternative is expensive. Guessing wrong and losing your family's land because you have no compliance records to defend yourself with, that is the true cost of doing nothing.
So if you are managing land, or if you advise those who do, the overarching takeaway from this briefing is pretty clear. In a heavily regulated environment, guessing is no longer a viable business strategy.
Absolutely not.
The taximeter is running, and the state is absolutely going to collect the fare. You need to understand your regulatory exposure immediately. The briefing actually notes that these tools are sitting right on their public site for anyone to use.
Yeah, they're completely free.
You can just go to agwaterai.com. That's AGWATERAI.com. And use their free SGMA penalty calculator to see exactly what your specific fine exposure looks like based on your acreage.
And they also host a sweep grant eligibility checker there, too, to see if your operation qualifies to have the state buy your sensors.
And you don't even need to sign up to use them. Just head over to agwaterai.com.
To put a final point on the urgency of this transition, I'll just leave you with a direct quote from the conclusion of the platform's briefing. The bill is coming whether you're ready or not. The only question is whether you'll see it before it arrives.
It is a chilling reality for an industry that literally puts food on all of our tables. But, you know, digging through the mechanics of this platform leaves me with one final lingering question for you to ponder long after we wrap up today.
What's that?
Well, we learned that this AI system actually learns and rewrites its understanding of agronomy every time a human expert overrides its recommendation. But as these algorithms continue to build massive, mathematically perfect, auditable records of how we manage our natural resources, will human intuition in farming eventually be relegated to merely providing the occasional piece of training data for the machines?
Oh.
Or will the sheer chaotic unpredictability of nature mean that at the end of the day, we will always need a human standing in the dirt to ultimately decide when to turn on the tap?